by typhoon. I'll fly away, oh, 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 oh. Fly away, oh, Bolivia. Fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away for just a few more weary days and then I'll to a land where joy should never end. I'll fly away, oh, 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 I'll fly away, oh, Bolivia. Fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away, oh, oh, oh,
again, welcome. Welcome to Cowboy Church. It's so good to be here with God's people, indeed. You know, we sometimes, after we've been Christians for a while, after we've been serving God and walking with Him for a while, we tend to get a little bit used to it. Just get a little bit blasé with the whole thing, and just when we were praying before the service, Pastor Ken was describing in his prayer the things that Isaiah saw in the throne room of God in the heavens, and just we have no concept the majesty and the greatness and the awesomeness of the God that we serve. It is absolutely beyond our comprehension. And it does us well to remind ourselves every once in a while that God is so far beyond us and so unknowable and so mighty and so glorious that we are going to be very amazed at how lightly we took things, I think. And it's just amazing. I would like to start tonight from Scripture. And I'm going to be reading from Psalm 134. It's very short. I'm going to read the whole thing. Psalm 134. We're going to sing it a little later on. Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we can call you Father, that you have made a path for us to be part of your family. I thank you, Lord God, that for the sacrifice of your Son and the unimaginable horror of his death on the cross and the unimaginable glory of his resurrection, Lord, and I thank you, God, that he sits with you at your right hand and that he intercedes for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have such a great high priest. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought each and every one of us in one way or another, through one event or another, you've brought us here tonight to gather together, to bless one another through your Spirit, to worship you, to lift you up, to hear your word preached, Lord. I thank you for each and every one, and I pray that you'd open our hearts and prepare us, Lord. I pray that we would worship you truly tonight by the power of your Spirit, Lord. I thank you that you have given us that comforter, that you have blessed us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in everything that's said and done, that your name would be lifted up. Lord, that your word is preached, Lord, that your gospel is proclaimed. Lord God, I pray that you would have your hand in every aspect of this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Been doing a 3-week series on God Wants Your Attention. And next week we'll have a bit of a break for one Friday night, and then I'll start a new series in the beginning of July. June the 21st, is that not the longest day of the year?
Yes.
I don't want to think about it. And we're going downhill the other way now. Tomorrow's the longest day, is it? Today is the longest day? Today is the longest day. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just thankful for this day. Praise God. So at this time, I would like you to stand if you can, if we read God's Word. Can you do that? I'm going to read from where we ended last week, taking Matthew 8, starting in verse 23. Now when he got into the boat, that is Jesus, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Lord, today we thank you for your word. And Lord, that as your word goes forth, that it will bear fruit. Good fruit. Fruit that will last for eternity. In your word, you said, preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So tonight, Lord, that your word will go out as a two-edged sword. And Lord, that it will return bearing fruit. In your precious name I pray. All of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Last week I ended with our little trip across the English Channel. And as you know, we survived that because we're here. So I want to just quickly look at Matthew 8, where we ended last week, starting in verse 23. There's something really we can learn here. The storms of life, and we all come through different storms. In fact, you may be a storm right now. But the thing is with the disciples, they were seasoned fishermen. They had seen many storms on the Sea of Galilee. And yet it says they were afraid. And Jesus was there in the boat with them. But you know, this storm didn't catch him by surprise. He knew it was coming. And for that storm that has come in your life or is coming, or you're in it right now, I want you to know Jesus is in the boat with you. And you might be saying, Jesus, where are you? He's right where he should be. And he knows exactly what you're going through. Because I can tell you tonight, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. Yesterday, I received a phone call from a gentleman who was distraught. His wife, at the age of 58, had just passed away from cancer. They had come into my life quite a few years ago and had attended a church that I was pastoring. So I knew them quite well, and they both had a love for the Jews and had been to Israel many times. She had been a nurse for years at the university hospital. But at the age of 58, the Lord called her home. But it's interesting how God lines things up. That dear woman comes from my hometown, Yorkton, Saskatchewan. You know, if you haven't been there, you should. It'll change your life. And just watch when the gophers are crossing the highway. You make sure you dodge. Don't try to get them, okay? Except Ken would. Ken, don't run over them. And so here this lady has come into my life, and they're saying, do you know what? Pastor, we would like you to officiate the funeral, because she asked for you by name. Not that I'm anything special. But they asked me to officiate. And then they said, she wants to be buried with her parents back in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. And I said, it so happens that I'll be there at the end of July preaching in a church there. And I said, if the family wants to come there, I would consider it a privilege to do the graveside service. But isn't God good? How he works out the small things. And why in all of that, why do we have such little faith? Jesus reprimanded his disciples, saying, what, how come you guys, what is it, what's your problem? Why is our faith so limited? You know, by most of us our age by now, we should have a little bit of faith, guys. Because you've been through some stuff. So all of a sudden we get a hiccup or a speed bump and we're going, oh, where's God in this? He's right where he should be, looking after you. You know, we should have more faith than we had 5 years ago. We really, come on, work with me now. You should have more faith than you had 10 years ago. Because what you've come through, your faith should grow. So when the storms of life come, you're going, well, I've seen this one before. The one thing, and you're going to hear it tonight, and I pray when we're done with this tonight that you're still going to love me. Because we're going to get into some stuff here. The one thing that will hinder your faith is your own stubbornness. Whoa. Stay with me now. Don't lose me here. Don't turn off your hearing aid. We're not done here yet. So we're going to start in Proverbs 29. We're just going to build up to the meat here. Proverbs 29, verses 1 to 2. And if you don't have your Bible, write it on this verse on the back of your hand so you don't forget it. Proverbs chapter 29, verses 1 to 2. Here it is. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck. Oh my word, I've got a neck problem today. It's stiff. Will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. You know, when I read that, I was trying not to be judgmental and think of our country. I had a fleeting thought there, but I repented. But when there is godly leadership, there is an atmosphere that people enjoy life. They want to go ahead. But when you're under an ungodly authority, it robs you of your joy. But I'm giving you this scripture verse because now we're going to get in. What does it mean to resist what the Lord wants to do and being stubborn? In fact, that word is going to be used now. So now I want you to flip quickly to Exodus. We'll end up in the New Testament sooner or later tonight, but we're going to go to Exodus now. Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now remember that God gave the Egyptians 10 plagues to make them release the Israelites who had been there as slaves for 400 years, and God said, it's time to come out. So the Egyptians are going to go through some things to release the Israelites. Starting on chapter 8, and also tonight I'm preaching out of the New King James. But before I read the first verse, I want to give you just an example of what we are like as individuals, the stubbornness that can be in us, and we don't want to change. This is a true story. You can Google it if you want. On the West Coast, and if you go on the West Coast, the Pacific there, if you go to the state of Washington and then look over at Vancouver Island, in between there's some islands that are actually, the Americans have a lot of those islands. In fact, a lot of the islands that run up beside BC are owned by the Americans. How that all worked out, I have no idea. But this is the way this story goes. In 1859, Charles Griffin got into an argument with Lyman Cutler over a pig. Griffin's pig was digging roots in Cutler's garden, and Cutler got out his gun and shot the pig dead. The men argued, and the conflict escalated with neither man backing down. Griffin was Irish, and Cutler was an American. I don't know why the story goes like that, but the boundary was between Canada and the Washington state. The two nations felt such a responsibility to protect their citizens, and soon hundreds of American forces were mobilized against the British warships. This is over the killing of a pig. So now it sounds like today. The Americans get the army out and the Brits got five warships out there over this. It had escalated to this point. America and Great Britain were on the brink of war because of the stubbornness of two men. Ultimately, President at that time was James Buchanan, sent a negotiator to meet with the English officials, and the two nations decided jointly to occupy the territory in a peaceful way. The crisis passed, but to this day, the incident is still known in history as the Pig War. You're going, where is he going with this? Don't worry, we'll get there. I just want to make sure you're going with me. Are you in the boat? The word here we're going to look at is what? Why are we so stiff-necked? In fact, God looked down on the Israelites and said, you know what? You're such a stiff-necked people. I'm just going to destroy you all. And Moses said, whoa, Lord, don't do that. It ain't going to look good. You brought them all the way out of captivity and now to kill them all? So now we're going to look at Exodus 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. Frogs. God is going to open his zoo, his creation, and says, here, I'm going to give you frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, onto your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. Now, just go with me for a minute. Maybe you're a lover of frogs. I don't know. But can you imagine crawling in bed at night and they're jumping around on both sides? Can you do that? Or you're just punching the dough and the frogs are hopping along in the dough. This was serious stuff. I can just see women having a total meltdown. And a few men. And you know, frogs, they say the biggest frog they've measured is 15 inches long and weighs 7 pounds. That's a good one. And they can jump 30 times their own length. So these guys are hopping all over. And we're not talking one or two here. Your house is hopping. And frogs have these great big eyes, and they have a film over their eyes, and at night they have perfect sight. So these frogs are in everything. And the frogs shall come up on you and your people and all your servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And this is an interesting thing here. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. These ungodly men could also bring up frogs. Do you find that kind of interesting, that there is demonic power? There is. There is demonic power, and they could bring them up too. But we're going to see a change here. Then Pharaoh called for Moses, and Aaron said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may sacrifice to the Lord. It's interesting. He didn't go to his magicians to get rid of the frogs. He knows where the power really comes from. This ungodly Pharaoh got a hold of Moses and Aaron and said, look, can you get rid of these frogs? Verse 9, Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you, and your house, and they may remain in the river only. And so he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know, here it is, there is no one like the Lord our God. There is no one like the God that we serve. No one. There is no God like our God. Amen. You need to get that down inside you. When the doctor says, get your house in order, you're going to die. There is no God like our God. Verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he brought from against Pharaoh. Verse 13, so the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. What a stench. Unbelievable. stacks of frogs. You know, years ago I was at a conference, and they had frog legs on the menu. I said, well, I'm not paying this bill, so I'm going to try frog legs. I haven't been the same since. I kind of just keep moving around them. No, I'm just kidding. And I mean, these were like chicken drumsticks, these frog legs. And the truth of the matter is, it tasted like chicken. Would I order it again? No, I don't think so. But I can honestly say I've eaten frog legs. And I can't say it was a lasting experience. But the stench, sin in our life will make a stench before the Lord. And this is the line here. If you remember anything tonight, remember this line. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Aren't we like that? God does something in our lives. He helps us through a situation. And then after a while, we just kind of go back to what we were doing. Why do we do that? If you have the answer, can you please stand up? We want to hear it. Why do we do that? We have just had a miracle in our lives, and something else comes along, and there we are, wringing our hands again. Can God look after me this time? Has God changed? As Pharaoh was, he hardened his heart and did not heed them. He can still smell the frogs, they're still rotting, but he's already hardened his heart. You know, when I worked on this message, I preached it to myself. So, like, what is your problem? God has kept you all of these years, healed you so many times. And yet when something comes along, right, why do you question it? Well, we're going to get to the answer. Thank you for staying. James 4. James 4, chapter 1. James 4, chapter 1. Here we go. This is it. Yeah, James chapter 4, verse 1. Sorry, thank you for correcting me. Appreciate it. That's why I have my wife in the front row. And I can also tell she's listening. James, chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Do you know every day that we get up, there's a fight in your spirit between good and evil? The old Adam in us wants his way. And we're living in a world today of selfies. I want my way. Aren't we? Don't you want to kind of have your way? Like, how dare they say that about me? We war in your members. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. We look at all the things around us. You know, I covet Ken's little red truck. I mean, I always want a red truck like that. If I had a weakness, if I really actually had all the money I wasted on cars, I'd actually have some in the bank. I loved cars. The older cars. Man, they were cars. And could they go? It was trouble keeping tires on the back of that thing, I'm telling you. Man. But what is it about us? We always are kind of watching what the neighbor has. Maybe that isn't an issue for you. But maybe there's another weakness in your life. And the devil knows what that is. And he might leave you alone for months or years. And all of a sudden, here it comes again. You know, you really deserve better than that. You know, they're not looking after you the way they should. I know you've never heard that line before. The old enemy sits on your shoulder and whispers garbage in your ears. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot attain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. We are to ask our loving Heavenly Father. But he also knows what's best for you. Why are you asking for that particular thing? It's like a child saying, you know, Dad, I'd really like a dirt bike. But he's only 8 years old. Dad says, no problem, son, I'll go get you a dirt bike. Would that be a good dad? A loving dad would not give his son something that he's not prepared and mature enough yet to handle. You know, I really appreciate my earthly dad. At the time, I didn't really. There were some times I didn't. Especially when I came home one night. Well, it was morning, actually. I took this beautiful girl to a prom, and then I just kind of forgot to come home. And I drive on the yard, and Dad is just walking across the yard to get the equipment to go on the field. And he took one look at me, and he said, just go in and change, and we're going to pick rocks today. You're right. I picked rocks till noon when I was just about on my hands and knees. He looked at me and said, well, I think you've had enough for one day. I never, ever did that again. I got home when I should have. See, I could have blamed my dad and said, my dad's too hard, my dad's this. But my dad, as I look back now, was a man of wisdom. He said, son, you're going to learn this thing one way or the other. And you're going to pick rocks till you get this out of your system. And sometimes some of us should be still picking rocks. Get it out of your system and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here today? Man, it's quiet in here. I'm telling you. Either I put you all to sleep. Let's continue. Verse 4. I really have trouble with this one. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now, what that means, adulterers and adulteresses, that means having, in normally that word definition means having sexual relations with someone that's married. And so why would we as believers want to have an adulterous relationship with the world? We're not of this world. Can you get that? We're passing through this world. This world should have no attraction for me. When these things come along and you're bombarded with this stuff, and like they say right now, if you do a survey, 1 out of 5 men are on pornography. Because it's right there. Anytime. So, you have to resist and say, no. No. Remember that song we used to sing, children? Little eyes, be careful what you see. Little ears, be careful what you hear. That applies all the way through our lives. When you see that dirt go, whoa. It ain't coming this way. Whatever form that comes in your life, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Verse 5, or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God wants us. He loves us. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you. He doesn't want you to be stiff-necked and say, God, I don't need you. I got this all under control, God. I'm doing okay. Really. But he gives more grace. Now, you know the word grace means God's righteousness at Christ's expense. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. God gives us grace. We deserve judgment, but he gives us grace. It's by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All of you know that verse. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You know that one. It's by grace. A lot of religions get the works. They feel works gives you salvation. Wrong way. Grace. And when you have grace, then you'll want to do things for the Lord. Then the works come. Don't. Many churches get that turnaround. They'll save you. They say you can be saved by works. Doesn't work. It's by grace that you're saved. In conclusion, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There it is. Resist the devil. You know, the old devil is like a roaring lion. He's going to come in. He said, you know what? You're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. There's no hope for you. You've fallen down so many times, you're just not going to make it. But the devil is a liar. Amen. He is a liar. And you send him back where he came from. He lied to Eve. He said, Eve, did God really say that you shouldn't eat from this fruit? He was a liar then, and he's a liar today. And he'll tell you, you have no value. And the devil comes and tries to seek and destroy and kill, and he's after our families. He knows he's running out of time, and he's pulling out all stops. But we are called to intercede and pray for our families. And the God that we serve is well able. Amen. So tonight my prayer for you is, if the Lord is speaking to you, don't be stiff-necked. You know, the thing is, most of us as humans, we hate change. We don't like change. Hate is too strong. We don't like change. You know, we've all heard the story of the pews in the church, and Some people have sat in the same pew for 20 years. And if they come in on a Sunday morning and somebody's sitting in that spot, oh my goodness. And my saying is just get over yourself. Come on. Get over yourself. If God created the four seasons and there's change, today we need change. The Word never changes. God doesn't change. But we need to change. We're dealing with a different mindset. The generation coming up now does not do things like we do. They don't. So I have learned with my children, my grandchildren, and my great-children, I just say, Grandpa, be careful how you say things. We laughed at our great-granddaughter the other day. She looked at someone within her family, and she said, are you indigenous? She's 5 years old. Are you indigenous? So I don't know what they're teaching in school these days. She wants to know, are you indigenous? No. Our history is in Europe. We're not indigenous. But to think a five-year-old is talking indigenous. That's a word that most of us don't even know how to spell. But I want you to know you're not indigenous. You're a child of the King. Amen. And when God looks upon us, he doesn't see the color or where your background is. But I want you to know one thing. We started out. We'll never be a part of the pig war. All you have to say is, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have shot your pig. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? Is that hard? Will you forgive me? And I want you to know too, as a pastor, if there's something that maybe I said that really offended you, will you come to me and so I can say to you, would you forgive me? I want to be harmony. Because if I have to spend eternity with you, I want to get along with you down here, okay? Because if your house is next door to mine, I better get along with you down here. I love you guys. And I pray that the word I brought tonight came from the throne. Because I am held responsible for what I say to you. The Bible says, woe to the shepherds. Woe. God gives us a couple of woes. That's serious. That I never have to say, Lord, I repent for telling them something that wasn't from you. Okay, if you extend your hands and receive the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless you, brother.
Come unto me.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Bring him later. Come to me at rest. Come no longer tarry. I your load will bear. Bring me every burden. Bring me every care.
Come unto me.
Unto me.
Come unto me.
I will give you rest.
I will give
you disappointed, wandering here and there, filled in chains of doubt and loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest.
Come to me.
Oh, I will give you rest.
I will give you rest.
My burden is light.